You're listening to the Church of the Redeemer Sermon Podcast. Join us at our 10 a.m. worship gathering in Alcoa, Tennessee. Visit us at churchotr.com for more info and to hear other sermons in this series.
Every Good Friday, we reread the story of the cross of Christ, and we sing into the story anew as if it was for the first time, recalling Christ's sacrifice for us. And every Good Friday, we are simultaneously two kinds of characters in the story that we've been reading. We're the unsympathetic characters, and we're the sympathetic characters. We're the unsympathetic characters, the scoffers, the mockers, the betrayers. And we're also the sympathetic characters, the women, John, the beloved disciple, the centurion. Let's look at each type of character in two simple points this evening. We put Christ to death, and we are thankful that Christ went to death. We put Christ to death, and we are thankful Christ went to death. First, we put Christ to death. Think about those who contributed towards Christ's death in reality, in history. There's the kangaroo court of the false witnesses who lied. There's the unjust religious judges who ruled falsely. There's Pilate who rules out of expediency even though he knows Jesus did nothing wrong. There's Peter who denied knowing Christ. There's the soldiers who mocked him and cast lots for his garments. There's the condescending thief on the cross maintaining his ironic detachment. There are many ways to contribute to Christ's death. They're not all the same, though they all result in the same thing. If you're a Christian tonight, it might be hard to place yourself in the seat of one of the more difficult characters in the story, but consider Oscar Wilde's quote of the human condition. Each person kills the thing he loves. Each person kills the thing he loves. Don't believe me? Consider this list of questions that I constructed with the help of pastor and author Garrett Kaiser. Why is there so little graciousness in the hospitality industry? Why is there so much superstitious dogmatism among scientists? Why is there so much insurrection among so-called conservatives who are supposed to be conserving things? Why is there so much misogyny among feminists? Why is there so much racism in the anti-racism movement? Why is there so much ignorance and unwillingness to learn among educators? Why is there so much disregard for the truth among lawyers? Why is there so much anger and distrust in families? Why is there so much bondage in those who would proclaim sexual liberation? And lest I leave myself out, why is there so much entitlement among pastors when the very name means a shepherd, one who serves? Oscar Wilde's right. Each person kills the thing he loves. So it should come as no surprise that we would find ourselves among those who would have, if had we been there, we would have killed Christ too, because we did. In fact, part of calling yourself a Christian is saying, I'm a sinner and I crucified Christ. My sin put him there. Were you there when they crucified my Lord, another African-American spiritual? And the answer is yes. You were there mocking or ignoring or scoffing or denying. Every time you do the selfish thing, every time you kill the thing you love. But if you're a Christian, that's not all you are either. We are also the ones who are thankful Christ went to death. There are sympathetic characters in the story. There's the devoted women of John 19 that we just read at the base of the cross. Three different Marys, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the wife of Clopas. They were in heartbreak, but as the resurrection would dawn and the significance of the cross would later come to bear, surely they were thankful that Jesus stayed till the bitter end on that cross. There was also Jesus' disciple John with them, the one whom Jesus loved, he always calls himself. And then there's a surprise character, the centurion at the cross in Mark 15, who when Jesus breathed his last said, surely this man is the Son of God. You and I find ourselves in these characters too, as the ones who would have held vigil had we been there, thankful as well that Jesus stayed on the cross till the bitter end. And so we hold vigil every year on Good Friday. As London was blitzed by air bombs during World War II, the director of the National Gallery of Art, Kenneth Clark, worried about what to do with all the paintings and sculptures. His original plan was to have all these paintings and sculptures shipped off to Canada. Because there were bombings all over London, they were worried that the art would be destroyed forever, but Prime Minister Winston Churchill said, no, that would be so demoralizing to the national morale to send our best pieces of art abroad. We've got to figure out a different plan. So the first plan they developed was to send the art all over universities and castles all over the UK, but they shortly realized that they weren't protected from the air bombing raids there either. And so Churchill devised a new plan. He said, let's air condition caves near London and let's put all the art in storage below ground as much as we can all over London. Well, the bombing campaigns went throughout 1940, 1941, and destroying much of London. And in January of 1941, somebody wrote a letter to the editor in the paper called The Observer and asked this, because London's face is scarred and bruised these days, we need more than ever to see beautiful things. And he said, can we bring the art out of the National Gallery again and begin to look at it? So Clark brought one piece a day out to Trafalgar Square, which is in the center of London, right by the National Gallery of Art in England. And so he put it outside and put one piece of art for people to come behold only during daylight hours and not during bombing raids, so people could see something of beauty. And they took to doing that once a month. One piece of art would be on display for an entire month for the remainder of the war, such that when all of the art came back at the end of the war, one of those reporters declared that the National Gallery belonged to the people more than ever. And so it is with us in Christ. We bring the beauty of Christ's crucifixion out every Sunday at Church of the Redeemer. I hope you hear that if you're here. And we do it especially on Good Friday because we need to behold the beautiful thing in the midst of a world that is scarred and bruised. And so just like the woman and John the disciple and the centurion, we behold the cross and say, I need that beauty and sacrifice for me. And I need reminders. And we do this, these reminders, so that we would believe that Christ belongs to us more than ever. And so the cross of Christ invites us to respond. We cannot admit that we've been one of the unsympathetic characters without pleading for mercy. We also cannot be an admirer without also asking to take it one step further and offering our whole lives back to Jesus. The author Alan Briggs invites this thought experiment. He says, let's say you're not married yet, but you're engaged and the wedding is 2 months away, but you're starting to get cold feet. You're starting to have reservations about how big and daunting of a commitment it's going to be. The problem is you've already spent a bunch of money and all these plans are going forward. So you devise an innovation. And your innovation is, in my vows, I'm just not going to give away my whole self. In my vows, I'm going to write in, the weekends belong to me. I'm going to do whatever I want on vacation. I'm never going to spend time with the in-laws. And I'll decide what we want about children. Good luck with that marriage. Friends, this is often what we do with Jesus, though. On the cross, he's given his all. All his love, all his life, all his power. And often we say, you can't have this part of my life. You can't have my money. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my political preferences. And we wall off the cross of Christ from some part of our lives. And so tonight, if you find yourself at all the scoffer or the mocker, give up in the light of the cross. Believe in the mercy granted to you. Or tonight, if you find yourself one of the admirers or the sympathetic characters, take it one step further and offer your whole self. As we will sing in a moment, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Let me pray. Lord, help us to give our all. Help us to give everything that we are back to you because you gave it all for us. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you can join us next week. God bless and have a great week.